Luke chapter 12. Going to be preaching from verse 29 through 34, but I want to read starting in verse 22 and get the context back into it. Luke chapter 12, going to start in verse 22 reading. And he said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor about your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom or barn, and yet God feeds them." Isn't that amazing? "How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." Remember that. That's a really cool thing. Verse 33, "Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in the heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this teaching that Jesus had with his disciples here. Lord God, that he showed them their focus. He reiterated what their focus needs to be. Father God, in all of this, help us to remember what our focus is. As children of the living God, what our focus truly is. Thank you for the reminders we have to get our focus back on you. Father, help us to trust you in the process of all of this. We love you. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Luke here is written about the life of Christ. We have come to the place in chapter 12 where he is going towards Jerusalem. He has just a few months left before his crucifixion, maybe three, maybe four, maybe less. But he has drawn huge crowds. We understand from the last chapter that, from the beginning of this chapter, he had over 10,000 people. He had thousands of people following him. Many of them just were curious. There were some who wanted to be healed. There were some who were his disciples, his 12, and then he had others that he had sent out, the 70. But there were others who just they wanted to follow him. They wanted to have him be their Messiah. But most of them, even the 12 disciples, even his devoted followers, most of them expected the kingdom to be a physical kingdom and expected him to be on the throne of that physical kingdom and to take over from Rome. They wanted what was here and now. They wanted to, because this was what they knew, this was what they understood. They wanted to trust God for that, but they didn't understand his true purpose in sending Christ. So Christ is teaching them. He is teaching them about trust. And at this point, he has taught them, he has given them a parable. He's showed them about the Trinity, about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Talked to them about the Pharisees' problem with hypocrisy and then with greed. And he gave them a parable. The parable was the rich man. The rich man who thought he had great wealth. Said, "You know, I've got so much in the bumper crop this year, and it's all I need. And so soul, just relax, take your ease. You've got much crops, you've got many goods for many years." And he says, "You're a fool." He says, "Tonight your soul is required of you." And he ends that section with something interesting. Look at verse 21. So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. It says, so is that man. And we're going to build on that. What we looked at last week was trusting him, was getting our focus back on him. We looked at the examples that he gave, the ravens, the crows, something nobody really liked, nobody cared about a whole lot, and yet they are able to take care of themselves. They are able to eat. They don't store up everything for them. God puts the food in front of them. The lilies that just grow, they grow everywhere, but yet they grow, they're beautiful, and yet they're used for a fire starter for the little oven things that they had. He says, you know what, you're worth so much more. And he ends it right there in 28, and he says, you men of little faith. You men of little faith. Now, what's about faith that we need to understand? Well, faith is the essence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. Faith is believing or trusting in what we can't see, what we can't fully understand, knowing that God will care for us, feeding us, clothing us. How? And we looked at that last week. Where we sit back and do nothing? No. Even the crows, even the ravens didn't do that. They go out and they find their food. God allows us to have jobs. He provides jobs. He investments. He can provide in other ways too. He's not condoning here. He's not saying inactivity. He's not advocating inactivity here. He's advocating keeping the focus on the right thing. Now, he's going to go on and expound on that. Look at verse 29. And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. Do not seek, or what he is saying here is, do not put all of your energy into just the necessities of life. These things that can become the focus, our whole focus in life, the world's possessions, even the basic ones. And he says, do not keep worrying. The keep worrying there is interesting, because it's an imperative, it's a command, but it's in a passive voice. Which basically means, do not keep letting the necessities of life and all of these things distract your focus on trusting God. Don't keep letting them distract your focus. Does it mean that we shouldn't take care of our families? No. Does it mean that God never gives us anything? No. We'll look at that in a little bit. But what he's saying here is, keep your focus on what needs to be focused. Instead of all of the necessities of life, focus on God. Let him take care of you. And many times he takes care of us by giving us work, by giving us what we need. But he says, look at what the nations do. Look in verse 30. All these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. They follow their natural instinct and eagerly seek. And what it means is everyone, I mean, the world has these basic needs, and the world focuses on them so often. And out of that, when the focus is there, then greed builds up, and he already talked about that earlier in the chapter. But he says, your Father, isn't that interesting? He's bringing it down to a father relationship here. It's one of the times when he relates the disciples with God as being a father. God as being their father. He says, your Father, and when he's talking about your Father here, he's talking about the relationship of Abba, Daddy, your Daddy. It's when he uses when he illustrates it like this, he's talking in terms of a very close knit relationship. Remember when you're young, or if you have young children, they come and they say, Daddy, Daddy. They depend on you. Because they don't have a job. They don't have any way to go out and make their money or make enough to eat. They depend upon you. And that's the relationship that he's offering here. And he goes on later and calls them little flock. We'll see that. But he says, look, just like the world is going to eagerly seek this, but your Father knows. He knows. And that word knows is in the perfect tense. It's an intuitive knowledge, oida. He knows us. How does he know us so well? Because he made us. He made us to need food. He made us to need clothing. He made us to need these things. And he wants to provide. He wants to show us that he is faithful. And we'll see this. Let's look at God's priority for his disciples. Look what it says in verse 31. But seek his kingdom. Now in Matthew it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's the same idea. Seek his kingdom. But seek his kingdom and all these things will be added to you. Seek his kingdom first. Not just if you have time. Not just if there's any time left this week, then I can seek the kingdom of God. But it's seek his kingdom. And the word seek is to focus on. Remember we talked about that? To look after. To seek after. Seek his kingdom first. Remember, his kingdom is not of this world. Folks, they thought they were doing this. The people he's talking to thought they were seeking his kingdom. Because they thought his kingdom was a physical kingdom. Even his disciples, who the mother of John, James, came to him and said, when your kingdom is set up, can my son sit on your right and your left? She wasn't talking about his spiritual kingdom. She was talking about the kingdom he was supposedly going to set up in this world. She didn't understand it either. They didn't understand it. And the other disciples were jealous because of that. And remember, they were talking about being the greatest. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? We've already gone through that, had that argument. All right? So the kingdom still was something mysterious to them. The kingdom was still something that they thought they could grasp physically. He says, seek first his kingdom, God's kingdom. Jesus isn't telling them he's going directly against their thinking. He says, don't worry about the basic needs you have, about food, about clothes. Seek his kingdom. And they're going, wait a second. By seeking his kingdom, that's going to give us more food and more clothes. That's going to give us more money. That's going to give us more power. That's going to give us more credence in the world. People are going to look up to our nation. So in their mind, there's a dichotomy. And remember, Jesus was doing this often. And later on, through the chapter and into the next, we're going to see him doing it even more. He brings them to the point where their understanding doesn't catch it. And he puts on a roadblock. Puts a roadblock up there. And look what the roadblock consists of. Look at what he says in verse 33. Sell your possessions. Give to charity. Make yourself money belts. Don't. And there's the roadblock. They're going, wait a second. Wait a second. What is this? Because if we're having a kingdom set up, we're going to be rich. We're going to have everything we want. And yet Jesus was saying, look, you have these basic necessities of the world. And all the nations do that. They all go after these things. But he says, I've got something better for you. Keep your focus on him, on his kingdom. Keep your focus there. All these things are going to be added to you. Keep your focus where it needs to be. All these things, what you need in the earthly sense, needs to not be our priority, but God needs to be our priority. He provides. He may use you to provide. He may use your job. He may use whatever means he desires to provide. He'll provide. Look what he says in verse 32. Do not fear, little flock. There's where he gets down personal. He says, little flock. He's not talking about the whole over 10,000 people here. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to the ones who are truly desiring to grow in him. Truly wanting to understand this. He says, do not fear, little flock. Why does he say do not fear? Because he's just said, don't worry about the necessities of life. Don't worry about these things, but seek his kingdom. He says, don't fear. Don't fear, little flock. For your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. This is what's fun. Your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. He says, don't fear. Don't fear losing control. And by the way, the food and the clothing thing, that was losing control. He says, don't fear giving up the control of that, the control of knowing everything you have and everything that you're... So don't fear giving that up for his kingdom. Seek his kingdom. He says, your Father, this is good. Look at this. It says, your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. You know what that word chosen gladly means? It means takes delight in, is pleased with, and prefers to do this. God, the Father, takes delight in giving the kingdom to his disciples. In giving the kingdom. How rich is God? How great is God's kingdom? And you know, God isn't sitting up in heaven going, you know what? I know I promised the kingdom to these guys, but they're a bunch of bums. Man, they just can't trust me good enough. I don't know whether I'll reluctantly give it to them. No, he could do that with me. He should do that with me, probably. But he doesn't. He delights in it. He wants to give us his kingdom. His kingdom. He wants us to be a part of his kingdom. Not just this world. He doesn't want our focus, our total focus, to be on how much we make, how much we have, how much we eat, how much we how good our clothes are. That's secondary. That's secondary. The focus is on his kingdom. And how great is his kingdom? You're talking about the king who holds the universe in the palm of his hand. His kingdom is vast. I don't even know how to say vaster or vastliest, or it's just really vasty. I don't have a clue. But it's really amazing. And he wants to give it. He's not reluctant to give it to us. He wants to give it to us. But he wants our focus to be on him. On him. And look what he says. Look what he says. Go on. Look at the practical part of their focus. Look what he says in verse 33. Sell your possessions. Give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes, nor near, nor moth destroys. No thief's going to come and no moth's going to destroy it. Say, well, this verse has been used to the extreme in many instances in our history. You know that? Look at Jim Jones. You look at all of these people who said, you know, you need to sell everything. Because look, the verse is right there. Sell everything you have. Give it to me. I'll take care of it. And then you'll have treasure in heaven. Okay, you can misuse Scripture. You understand that? Do you know that you can misuse Scripture? Because his point here isn't to become poor. All right, his point here isn't to get rid of everything you have so that you can be extremely poor. What his point is, what you have is what God provides. And you know what? I think there's something about this verse that we need to understand. And something that we can take literally. Because what you have, God has provided. And I think it's a good idea. If you say, you know what? I have these possessions. I have this possession and I worked hard for it and it's mine. And I am just, you know, I am so proud of it. And I'm it's all mine. And I'm trusting that it'll just do me great. That's the one you need to sell. And give that. Don't keep the money. Give it away. Why? Because that is when we start depending upon that. If you're depending on a certain thing, then you go back to right before this teaching. Remember the parable, the rich man? He was depending on his possessions so that he could have a wonderful life and eat, drink, and be merry. God said, that's stupid. That's just dumb. You're foolish. Because tonight, your soul's going to be required. And then who's going to have everything that you depended upon? Who's going to have everything you gathered together? So, you know, if we have possessions that we are trusting in, that we think that we have to have so that we could, if you have that type of possession, if it's yours and not God's, sell it. Sell it. Get rid of it. Then you can trust in what God's given you. And by the way, what do you have that God hasn't given you? He's given you the strength to work. He's given you the health. He's given you your fight. He's given you everything. And if that's our focus, if we can understand that that's our focus, then what happens isn't what the rich man did. You know, because if we keep what we ourselves provide and what we are dependent upon, then it'll become one of two things. It will either be an idol, what we worship, or it will be proof that we are God, that we can provide better than God. And there's nothing wrong with working hard and providing and making. We're told in Scripture to work hard. We're told in Scripture to provide for our family. God isn't going against himself at this point. But his whole point is wrapped up. In fact, he sums this all up. The point here, he sums it up in verse 34, which goes back to verse 21. But he sums it up in 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about those possessions that we depend on. If that's our treasure, then we are back in verse 21. So the man who stores up this type of treasure for himself is not rich towards God. Is not rich towards God. And that's why you get down to verse 33, and he says, instead of having these possessions that we are trusting in, make yourselves money belts which don't wear out, which thieves can't steal, which moths can't destroy. You know, you can have the best, wonderful, most wonderful garment ever, and in 100 years, it'll have holes in it. You can have the best car in the world, and in 1,000 years, it is a pile of rust. You can have the best of anything, and you know what? Stuff destroys it. And if you have the biggest diamond, you're going to have a whole line of thieves waiting to steal it, right? Why? Because it's all wrapped around this world system. And if that's where our focus is, then that's where our heart is. And what is it about God? Does he want your money? Does he need your money? Does he need your fame? Does he need... He's got all of that. If he owns the world... And by the way, what's the gravel in heaven? Purest gold. Purest gold. Transparent gold. Well, the New Jerusalem, you know what the gates are going to be? Massive pearls. Huge pearls. God doesn't need our money. God isn't focused on our money. God isn't focused on what the world focuses on. This makes me important. This makes me rich. This makes me famous. God isn't focused on that. He wants your heart. Because you know what? We follow where our heart leads. We follow where our heart leads. If you have a heart passion for bowling, you're going to bowl. If you have a heart passion for roofing, you're crazy. But you're going to roof. If you have a heart passion for a certain charity, you're going to give all out for that charity. Right? That just shows the focus of your heart. But you know what? God uses possessions to help us see the focus of our heart. And that's why he concludes with, you know what? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And God is always, 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 always concerned with our heart. Not our possessions. He could give us billions and billions of dollars. What would we do with it? That's the question. He's given you a dollar. What are you going to do with it? So when God does give us what we have, what do we do with it? Are we wise in it? Are we reluctant with it? If you are his, what he has provided for you, use it wisely. Follow God's design for providing for your family. Generously share when he brings the need to you and points you to give. That's when you share. Not when I tell you. If I stand up here and tell you, you know what, you need to sell your car and give it to this certain church. Don't. Right? If God puts it on your heart, do. Do. Because it's his anyway. And he'll provide more. You know, it's one thing, the principle that you cannot outgive God. You ever heard that? It's true. You can't. You can't. God will take care of all that you need when your focus is upon him. If these possessions are his, if what he has given you is his, what he has provided for you, then use it wisely. generously share when you can or when God promotes you or provides you. Don't let what God has given you realign your focus away from Him. Don't let the possessions that God has given you realign your focus away from Him and onto me, onto this world. Don't let it do that. Your heart is what God desires. All the money, the possessions, the fame, the clout, He has that already. You'll never outgive Him. He has provided everything for you. Focus on His love and share His love with others. Don't depend on your wealth. Depend on His wealth towards you. The wealth of His love and His kingdom, which is eternal. Depend on that. Keep worry at bay. How do we keep worry at bay? By trusting. By trusting Him. Trust God to take care of your family because He is faithful. Work hard. Not by your own power, but by His. Work hard. And the one thing basic that we need to get down to is have that relationship with Him where you call Him Daddy. You can do that. If you've never trusted Christ, you can have that relationship with Him. He wants it. He wants you to be His child. He's made an adoption into His family possible. And if you're a family of the King, if you're a child of the King, how rich are you? He wants to give us His kingdom. I'd love to show you from Scripture how you can have that relationship if you never have. If there's a question, if there's a question about your possessions, if there's a question about what to do or how to, ask Him. Ask Him. He's happy to let you know because you know what? He's the one that gives peace. Remember what we talked about before in Philippians? I think it was prayer. But in Philippians chapter 4, where it says, be anxious for nothing. Here we're talking about worry in this whole passage here is about worry. It says, be anxious for nothing. Instead, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace that goes beyond our understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of peace, the kingdom of rest, the kingdom of trust. Trusting in Him. Folks, He wasn't trying here to tell them, you know what, you could never have money because money is evil. Well, the love of money is, and that's where He's going. The love of money is, because when we love money, our heart's involved in there. It's not involved in Him. He'll give us what we need. Trust Him. Let's close in prayer.